We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary super intelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
I mean, I don't care.
You can touch me.
You can molest me all you want. That, you know, whatever.
I'm very confident.
Yeah, now.
You can easily depress Titans, but I'm actually looking for ideas to move us forward. We've given away too much to arrive at these political compromises. Yeah, now.
He put the USDA stamp on his dong.
Black dong.
Black, please. Thank you. Do not clip that, you son of a bitch.
Bye, bitch.
The political compromises is another just, it's a beauty.
What I think is so funny.
We've given away too much to arrive at these political compromises. Get out.
What's funny is he's doing an impression of the SEC commissioner.
Yeah.
Who sounds nothing like that.
He's from like Connecticut or something.
Yeah, yeah. He's like from New York or something.
It's not even remote, but it is amazing.
It's a very Foghorn Leghorn. Or if you've ever watched SNL, Jason Sudeikis used to have a sketch that he called Maine Justice.
Here now.
And he was a judge in Maine.
Here now.
But they made it like it was an old Southern court. You know, right, like that. He talked just like that.
Boy.
And he'd be like, listen here, boy. You may go think this goes down in some city, but this here is Maine justice.
You want to go inside what it's like to sit in this role?
Yeah.
Yeah, now.
They did three or four of them.
Are they going to bring Cooper Flagg in to do Maine justice?
I would hope so.
That feels like a lay-in, right?
It was always great Flags. To hear him be like, that may go down in certain parts, but not here in Maine. Not with this here Maine justice. Someone's
good
like, where am I at?
Maine.
You're in Maine!
Yeah, now!
And it makes me think of that when Rob does it. And by the way, we are so odd. I didn't think we were that long.
I didn't either. But you know what? Disney adults and football talk, it'll get you there.
I said at one point during a break, hey,
does this ever end?
I said, way before, like at 5:30, like at 5:30, 5:15. I go, is Joey one segment or two? And he's like, oh, two. And I was like, we might be having an issue here coming up.
Die. You're speaking Japanese.
Somewhere Kurt Ludwig is pissed because he hates when we cut into the club.
He does.
Joey, we always go a little long with Joey, but that was like, that was there was long, and then that's a whole other kind of long.
What?
That's long, long.
You literally have good questions.
All right, so we're going to try to get back on track here. We'll try to, even though we're like breaking
out.
We can do it. We come back. We were talking about it earlier. We got to talk about the bear. We discussed the bear earlier, and we put a pin in it, and we'll come back and we'll discuss.
And let's try to limit spoilers.
Yes.
Just in general conversation.
We can do that.
Yeah. All right. Hot bear talk. Club 1080. All right, attempting to get back on schedule. I don't know how did we get on the bear in the first place? We were talking.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
did we get on that?
We were talking about the bear, and we were like, you were like, hold on, I got to talk about the. Oh, we're talking about soundtracks.
Oh, yes, it was. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So I was saying that when a show isn't very good, I'm a sucker for a good soundtrack.
It can really uplift certain moments.
Yeah, this last episode of The Bear that I watched, it was like episode 4 or 5. It was a big wedding episode, and it wasn't good. This whole season hasn't been very good. But in the background at the wedding, they were playing all of these. It was a great soundtrack, but it was kind of sung by different people. In fact, they had Tougher Than the Rest, which is maybe my favorite Bruce Springsteen song off the Tunnel of Love album. But it was sung by a gal. It kind of sounded like a Belinda Carlisle thing. And my gal's like, how do you pay attention to that? I'm like, I'm a sucker for a good soundtrack. And shows that use good music and movies will rope me in, even if it's not necessarily a great show. And we started talking about The Bear, because The Bear, the first season of it, I thought was one of the best shows on TV.
Agreed.
And it is, it's on the verge of getting me to not watch it. It's the last season was, and this season so far, I said I'm like five episodes in. My gal even said, she goes, dude, you're just about done, right? And I'm like, I'm getting real, real close.
I think the first season was all fastballs.
Yes.
Like, they were all great.
Yep.
The episode where his cousin learns how to be like a great waiter in the front of the house, and he goes and gets him that deep dish pizza and all that. That was a great, to me, that was a great episode.
Yeah. The Christmas episode where they were all together was.
That was the best episode of the whole series.
Best episode of the whole thing. It was peak.
There's been some good episodes.
Mm-hmm. And good moments.
But generally speaking, and I'm talking about the way it's filmed, the conversations that are had, there has been stacks of three episodes where if you just went, hey man, I don't really have the time to invest in this. What happens?
Wouldn't matter.
And they're like, some stuff with the restaurant. There's this, like, you know, they're having an issue with a licensing thing.
There's some tensions between
There's a hole in the wall, and a couple people are kind of annoyed with each other, and then they kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
They've got to start
getting
progressing somewhere.
Yeah, you got to go somewhere.
So this is what I've said all the time. I am a movie guy more than I am a TV show guy. And I know that's kind of backwards now because TV is all the rage, right? Like, movies are kind of, it's just, it's hard. It's,
only 2 hours to develop an anti-hero? Are you kidding?
And here is the problem that I have with TV shows. Almost every TV show starts off with their fastball, right? You write 9 to 10 episodes, right? And it's the best material. And then at the end of that, that should be it.
Yes.
It should be done.
You're trying to gain traction, so you put out all your best stuff, but then what you have left in the cupboard is really not enough to sustain it.
Yes, because it's over. Squid Games is a great example of this.
Perfect.
The original Squid Games was really, really good. I remember watching that and thinking to myself, bravo, beautiful, I don't care about subtitles.
Masterclass in execution.
Fantastic. And then it was over. And the guy that made it even said, I'm not planning a sequel. This was supposed to be it. And then they bring you a dump truck full of money, and you're like, well, I have to do another one. But you don't have a story. The Bear could have wrapped up at the end of season one, maybe three or four. If you had done a 15-episode season one, it would have been over, and it would have been great.
And it probably would have lived up in history as this great short-run show.
And almost every show that tries to extend it fails miserably. Find me the show that makes it 2 to 3 seasons without dropping off, and I'll give you an all-timer, and that's going to be Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
It'll be like The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Some people say The Wire.
People say Game of Thrones all the time. I mean, shoot, George R.R. Martin was following his own books,
and then
the money and the demand was so much, he's like, well, I haven't had time to finish these next books. And they're like, doesn't matter, we need a season. And they were widely panned.
Terrible. Dexter, so the last couple seasons of Dexter, god awful.
Dexter became like a parody of itself. Dexter was so bad at the end.
Lost was that way too.
Lost was bad too.
Like, yes. when you, I'm assuming when you start out writing a show, you have a beginning and an end. You're like, because most of the showrunners say, hey, I know this, how this is going to end. But the problem is when someone goes from, hey, you have to write 12 episodes to get to your ending, and then they're like, no, 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 you have to write 36 episodes to get to your ending. The Bear is the victim of this. In the last two seasons, I count at least 4 or 5 episodes that, like what you said, it moves the plot. They are literally just, we don't have.
They're treading water.
We don't have any filler.
Yep.
Yellowstone was maybe the worst victim. Yellowstone, the first season and a half of Yellowstone, biggest show on TV. Watch the final 2.5 seasons of that and tell me if that is not some of the worst writing and worst plot development, and stuff makes no sense.
If you're looking for kind of an edgier show that ends well, that is good, I highly recommend on Netflix Sense8.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about this show?
I do not know
Sense8. Sense8 is a story of different pockets of people start to be born, where as they get older, they can feel and gain these skill sets without realizing it of the other people in their pod. Mm-hmm. And it's called Sense8 because there's 8 to a pod. And the government tries to kill them or take over their powers. and there's this group of eight, and one's a DJ, and one's a cop, and one's a martial artist, and they are being pursued by the government, mm-hmm. and that's giving you as much as I want to without ruining it.
Yeah.
It's really genuinely interesting, and they were told, you're done, and Pete, the fans kind of fought for give us an ending, and they were like, okay, we'll do, I think it's a two-part, each two-hour movies to finish it, and it ends well. It's not, I'm not saying it's happy or sad, it just ends the way it should end.
It's wrapped up nicely.
It's called Sense 8, and it's really, really good. Don't watch it around the kids. There's nudity. There's some big S-E-X scenes. We're allowed to say that, right?
We can
say sex! Yeah. There you go! Because there's eight of them together, and then they have feelings for each other, and it's really good.
I'm just trying to think, of others. Walking Dead. Loved Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. I watched the first five or six seasons of that. You got to the Negan plot line, and I'm like, I just can't do this.
It's just so bad. Ray Donovan. Loved Ray Donovan. The final two, I stopped watching. I'm like, I'm out.
I loved Schitt's Creek. And we started watching it from the beginning. We had a friend that was like, I think this is going to be good. And he knew someone with somebody that was connected somehow to it and was like, this is going to be good. Trust me, there's a lot of buzz about this.
That was a COVID takedown.
So we started watching it right at the beginning when it was still coming out. Episode one was on TV is when we first started watching it. The last season is the season that won all the awards. And it wasn't good at all.
The last
season was bad. Yeah. It's just people finally knew enough to give it its flowers from season one, two, and I believe three. I think it was four seasons.
And it pains me when that happens. Shameless is one of my all-time favorite shows.
I quit on Shameless.
And it...
I did too.
I think I
watched five seasons maybe, and then... Did it get to nine or something?
There's only so much you can't move the story forward anymore.
Has anybody seen Peaky Blinders?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you watch the last season?
Yes.
Okay. Is it worth finishing?
Well, it ends and then it goes into a movie. Peaky Blinders, I think, was solid. Okay. Yes.
Because I got to I got through season four and it lost me.
I know. Sons of Anarchy did that to me. Love Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
And it, sometimes what it'll do is you go away for a bit and then I basically will watch a recap of a season and a half, and then I'll pick up the final season because if I really like the show, then I'll come back and I'll watch the end to see if you can stick the landing. It was messy there towards the end. Can you rebound? That's what I was hoping with Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. and it didn't. It just butchered.
Oh God, it was
well,
so
well. The one
bad.
That we're gonna have to keep an eye on too, because we talked about this when we thought it wrapped up for good and it's coming back, is Ted Lasso.
Yeah, and that's
we thought they landed the plane. It was nice and tight.
I think Ted Lasso got bad.
I do too. But at least they wrapped it up.
That was rough. And Ted Lasso at least realized, hey, this is getting silly. This is getting dumb.
Until someone threw a bunch more money at them, and they're gonna reboot it.
Oh no,
that's what I said. I like movies. Movies, yes, sometimes movies are condensing too much into one thing. I would rather try to squeeze too much story into 2.5 hours and not get all the character development than waste my time in getting me to enjoy something and then have it go completely sideways.
You know, the other good example of this, and we've talked about it on this show, the first season of Severance was
amazing.
Gangbusters.
And this last
and now
one,
they don't know where to go, and I haven't even finished it yet.
It's... And now they're going to come back for season three, and I'm not certain that I'm coming back for it. The one that scares me, it was my favorite show on TV. There's two seasons of it, and it's brilliant, and it should have ended. It was a Shrinking.
Ah, okay. I only watched the first season, have not seen the second.
I haven't seen it. Loved Shrinking, and I still do. The first two seasons were great, and it ended. It should be done. And they're going to come back for a third season, and... I'm telling you right now, it is going to be awful and it's going to suck because that show is brilliant. Again, one of my favorite shows I've watched in years, and they're going to screw it up.
What's the show where people can't quite figure out what it's about, where they have a life in the building and then they have
that's
a real
Severance.
Life?
That's the one we just referenced.
Okay.
First season of Severance, amazing. Second season,
there's so much potential there, but they have not been able to figure it out.
Because again,
but I think The Bear and Severance have that same problem.
Probably.
They have a really interesting landscape.
Yep.
They have no idea what to build on that beautiful landscape. We could build something that's going to have a great view, and it's going to be, okay, cool, what are we building? And they're like, I'm not not really sure.
And the text line points out that's why some of these single season anthology series like
better.
Fargo are great because like when they do like a it's part of the same series but it's a full reboot with
the
new
true
characters.
Detectives or
yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That I like that vehicle.
Fargo is my favorite one of those. Black Mirror does this.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah. And they do it with individual episodes.
Individual
not even
episodes.
Seasons. Yeah.
But yes, the I would much rather attempt that, or you get into like a sitcom like It's Always Sunny or Curb. And it can go on forever because it's just, it's the story of Larry David.
Sonny just dropped their 17th season.
Yes, because it's just, there's no natural conclusion. The problem with these shows, you know, there's a story arc to it, and it's only that one arc. Whereas when you watch, you know, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It's literal situational comedy. So you just throw different situations and see how the same characters are in those different situations.
But when you have a specific plot line, I think that's one of the hardest things to do is to write more than two seasons worth of anything that's entertaining to people. TV harder than movies. All right, we come back. Club 1080 rolls on here on The Fan.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Are we a break behind? Is that where we're at now?
Yep.
So technically we're supposed to be breaking, well, we're supposed to break like two minutes ago.
Yeah, that's right.
This time it wasn't my fault.
No, it's a Friday.
It was Joey's fault.
Well, look, we're at the point, like, this week...
It's nobody's fault.
Dirt and Sprague are dead. No one's heard from them.
Not to crap on your point, but...
You're talking to their ghost.
I've been talking to Sprague quite a bit.
They haven't been here all week. Yesterday, no one was just me and Ortner. There was no one else to do the show. Nemec couldn't do it. Buckley was off doing God knows what. Rob was supposed to be here Thursday. He was going to be gone Friday. He's like, do you care if I'm gone Thursday? I'm like, everyone's gone. Dusty, it was Dusty's last show today. His last show ever. Because he's dying, along with Dirt and Sprague. No one was here to do the show with Dusty. He had to do his last show by himself. You think anyone at 6:44 cares what we're doing at this point?
Did he do his last show by himself?
Yes.
Yeah, well, with a producer, but yeah. No co-host.
Dude, this is a rudderless ship.
Was it Patrick in here?
Well, no, he was in for the end of it.
He came in at the
end. Oh, I thought
he came in for the announcement.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. No. His last show was a solo.
It was just Dusty and Rust for 2.5 hours.
This is a van careening downhill, heading to the water, and there's no brakes. There's no use steering now. It's like a post-game brought to you by, I can't find it. To hell with it. All right, so we'll do this. We'll break. We'll get back on the clock. We'll have one more segment. We'll put a nice little tidy bow on this. We'll say thank you to Nemec, and we'll send Buck off on his merry way. Buck's had a week. You got more stuff happening this weekend?
Yeah, we're finally executing the move back into our home.
There you go.
There you go.
Buck's got stuff going on. So we'll send us all along our merry way when we come back. One final segment here on Club 1080.
I got something's on.
We do have something's on. And look at us back on the clock. I wanted to squeeze this story in, and we're not going to get a deep dive into this, but there was an Australian woman, and this story's been in the news for a while.
The mushroom woman.
The mushroom woman. There was a gal, she was in Australia, and she was estranged from her husband. Mm-hmm. And so they were getting a divorce. There was a fairly contentious thing. So she calls the husband and says, hey, I want to have you and your parents over for dinner. And he goes, I don't know. That's kind of a... And she's
red
like,
flag right away.
Red flag. And she's like, no, I really want us to make this work. And she's like, I understand we're not getting back together, but like I'm really working hard on this. I'm making a beef Wellington. And puts on the super hard guilt trip.
The beef Wellington.
And so he comes
Which
over.
Is a labor of love, by the way.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you got to put some extra work in to do a beef Wellington.
Put a pin in it. Put a pin in that.
Yeah, so...
For just a minute.
She invites over, the husband, the parents, and an aunt and uncle. She invites them all over.
Yeah, the family.
The family.
The family line.
She invites her whole family.
Extended family.
Yes.
Whole family over. So this is outside of Melbourne, by the way. And she serves them a lovely beef Wellington. Problem, the next day, everyone starts to feel violently ill and goes to the hospital. Three of them died. It turns out, if you don't know, a beef Wellington is it's a beautiful medium rare steak, and then it's wrapped in a pastry, and inside the pastry is a layer of mushroom.
A mushroom duck cell, I believe, yes, is what they call it.
And they're delightful.
Beautifully
Gordon,
said.
Gordon Ramsay's restaurant, by the way.
He's famous for it.
He makes the one in Vegas or
it's
Reno.
It's a delightful beef Wellington.
It is a delightful beef Wellington.
Okay.
Also, I'd like to point out the bread pudding.
You're such a bread pudding
guy. You're
hag.
A big pudding guy in general.
Yeah, what's going on with
I'm
you?
I'm telling you, you go to Gordon Ramsay's.
God, you brought this up the last time. Literally the last time I hosted, you brought up his bread pudding.
Shout out to the Horse Brass. A delightful bread pudding. A wonderful English bar. You get that's the final. You go and you get a lovely pint of Guinness and a bread pudding at about 1 a.m. And let me tell you, it slaps. Every time.
So the fact that you brought this up, so when I brought up Cinnabon Swirl, I was going to ask you about bread pudding, but I was like, he just brought that up last show that I was on with him. No. I'm not going to bring up bread pudding again, and then you did it.
Go to Hell's Kitchen, order yourself a beef Wellington for Gordon Ramsay, and then get the damn bread pudding, and I'm telling you, it's
one,
the best.
One of the best meals you'll ever have.
It's the best bread pudding I've ever had.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And
so it's a solid C+.
Oh, my God. Their bread pudding. Incredible. Ah!
I like that.
Turns out...
Many people think it's a mid-dessert, but not this one, apparently.
I will kick someone in the nuts that insults bread pudding. Go to the Horse Brass...
Cover up.
...and order their bread pudding, which isn't even as good as the bread pudding
at Hell's
Kitchen.
So what's going on with the beef Wellington that this lady made?
She put death cap mushrooms as the mushroom glaze inside the beef Wellington, sent all four of them to the hospital, killed three of them!
Yep.
Killed three!
And her argument was... that she was a forager and frequently would go do that for different ingredients for her meal.
Yeah.
And she was basically an expert at this.
Lies.
And well, no. That is actually true.
But this one, she just happened
to
get it wrong.
And she would pick like raspberries. And her argument was, I just happened to get it wrong. And they brought witnesses up who said she knows everything about what she did.
She lied about everything. She lied and said that... she didn't make her own mushrooms. She lied and said she didn't have a mushroom dehydrator. Everything about her story was full of... They actually found her mushroom dehydrator in a landfill. She threw it away.
Evidence.
Yeah, she got caught, like, red-handed. By the way, she even faked being sick. She was like, no.
See, I was sick just like that.
No, she never went to the hospital. She never once got sick. She even lied about it. All four were hospitalized. Three freaking died. She killed three members of that family.
Resourceful little bitch.
Went on for 6 weeks, 50 witnesses, 8 days of Patterson family testimony, and she has been convicted of three murders. And we go into more, but like we don't have a ton of time, but
He's a grade A bitch.
I'm adding this to the list. If you're having a rough time in your relationship or you're estranged, this is now becomes, because it was always two.
Hiking is one.
Do not go hiking. If you are estranged from your husband or wife and the other one says, hey, I got an idea.
Speaking of the show Shrinking.
Yes. Why don't we get back together and let's go on a hike way up high on a mountain? No, your ass is about to be kicked off. Or, hey, I got an idea. Let's go on a cruise. You're getting pitched over the side. And now number three. If they invite you and your entire family that she hates, she can't stand any member of your family, and she insists that they all come over for a home-cooked meal, don't do it.
Especially if there's mushrooms.
Bitch! You're about to get freaking poisoned.
Yep.
And three of your asses are going to die.
Yep.
Like, I'm telling you, read through this trial. Just look it up. The details trial are freaking bananas. Because she is a grade A prime bitch.
Grade A prime bitch.
It's one thing to kill the bastard that you don't like, but you offed his parents and the aunt and uncle?
Yeah.
Boy, what sort of evil is that?
You freaking bitch.
I listened to a true crime podcast yesterday in which the lady found out her husband was cheating. She went to the hotel they were at, hit him with her car, with their daughter in the car, and then went over him and backed up over him and drove over him multiple times.
Man.
And then got out and cried over his body and said, please breathe, you're okay, you're going to be okay. Hmm. She just, like, snapped.
I don't... Now, We've all had our heart broken from time to time. We've all been treated poorly by someone.
Oh, I've killed a few people.
The idea of the, I'm so heartbroken that I'm going to murder you.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Or the, I don't want to get a divorce because I don't want to pay alimony, therefore I'm going to murder.
Like, getting a divorce is more complicated than offing your partner.
That blows me away. I just will never...
We're having problems, and I just had to get rid of
the family annihilator guy who's like, oh, gosh, we're in debt a little bit. I think I'll just wipe out my entire family rather than sell the house. Yeah. It's like, whoa, what?
Yeah. Dude,
It's never that bad.
What I get, you know, you can't rationalize crazy, but my goodness.
Young Hansen.
Oh, yes.
We're an hour away.
Young Bong tonight.
I can't. I got to go see... canceled guy, which I still feel a little uncomfortable about.
Right. The Yong Bong highlights will be waiting for you.
They'll be waiting for me. Don't worry, I got the TiVo set. I'll watch every minute and give us a detailed breakdown on Monday.
No text updates on that from you? You don't want to be sitting there and I'm texting you the Yong Bong update, updates?
I got to keep that one.
He's got a triple-double in the second quarter!
With turnovers and fouls!
The Yong Dynasty has arrived. Well, thank you guys very much. I appreciate you. Nemec, always like having you in. Buckley, good to have you back. Good luck this weekend moving back into the asbestos-free house with a brand new kitchen. Rob should be back on Monday, and we will see you guys Monday, 3 to 7. And don't forget, new show, noon to 3 with Patrick Harris and Danny Moraine. Noon to 3, and then primetime 3 to 7. We'll see you guys Monday. Have a very safe and warm weekend.
Ships of Spain, red ships of Spain.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes?
Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.